this great science of bringing fulfillment to our life that has been preached thousands of years back is helpful to us even in these situations, because although the times have changed, the surrounding situations have changed, yet our psychology, human psychology, human aspirations and problems of our mind more or less remain just the same. And that is why this science becomes so useful to us. The main problem that Arjuna had and that we too have is a conflict between what I should be doing from the standpoint of my ideal and what my attachments are dragging me to do. These things are quite conflicting in our life. And Arjuna was aware of that terrible conflict and asked Krishna for the advice as teacher. That, well, you are God, please take me out of this terrible confusion. This confusion is eating into my vitals. And Lord is showing that, well, your confusion is because of your attachment to the names and forms, thinking that they are permanent. This attachment has the cause, that is ignorance. Because of ignorance, I consider that all these pictures, they are real. These bodies are just pictures. They are real. And I feel that they should just be lasting. And because I consider them to be real, I get attached to them. I try to form permanent relations with impermanent things. And that is what creates tremendous conflict in us. Attachment is like that, that we get stuck into something, like the something that you attach. A paper is attached to some other paper, and then when one moves, the other also moves. But that is what creates difficulties for us, because although we are in a different situation all the time, we do not want to give up these names and forms that we came in contact with earlier. The forms change. The pleasant forms just suddenly give rise to unpleasant ones. And yet we see a sense of continuity in them and want to stick to them. That is why we have lot of conflicts in our life. So Lord saw that this ignorance is to be removed. This ignorance in us about who we really are and what the world is has to be removed. And we saw that he gave Arjuna a great science, that how this knowledge of the true unchanging self will remove all the illusion and establish one in the perfect peace and bliss. And this can be practically achieved. This is not a theory, or not just you have to get into a poetic dream of it. Poets keep on dreaming of various those situations, ideal situations, write nice poetries about them, that in that state, then there will be no conflict, no blazes, no this and no that, no fights, the world will be so nice, everywhere there will be flowers, There will be no winter snow, and even if it is there, we don't have to shovel that. That is all nice poetic ideas, you see. Not possible at all. That state of perpetual spring will appear very boring after a while. These poetic ideas are not what the Vedanta wants to teach us. It wants to bring that truth to us which can be realized, which can be practicalized, which can be experienced by us much more clearly than this passing world. This appearance is enchanting us, drawing us all the time and binding us to it. But if we penetrate a little deeper, we will see the unchanging reality that is supporting this changing phenomena. Like the ocean, you see the waves on the top of it. The waves, they keep on changing, they are different, they are multiple. It is the one ocean that supports all these different innumerable rising and falling waves. So let us look upon all these forms in the world as the rising and falling waves. The waves, by their very nature, are going to rise and fall. They have no permanence in them. But why do we look or seek permanence? Because, relatively speaking, of course, this is an example, don't stretch it too far. This ocean is permanent. The ocean remains even though the waves come and go. So the ocean that the self is, our true nature is, that is the reality on which all these waves are rising and falling. And this is not just a poetic imagination. This is certainly a very poetic truth, very nice and poetry of a very high level. And yet, this is immensely, intensely practical too. In fact, this is the practical solution to all the problems that we face in this world. This is the practical solution, and we have to change our lives in accordance with this truth for that. And the way to do it is what is being told here as karma yoga. Performance of your actions, not running away from them, not giving up the actions, but giving up the attachment in action. Don't throw the action away. Action is a tool. Actions are very much required for experiencing these truths. These actions are to be performed without attachment. If you give up the action, you are giving up the tool by which to experience this. Like a person didn't know how to use a screwdriver and so was not able to work with it. So he thought that by throwing away the screwdriver, the problem will be solved. No, the problem doesn't get solved. You have to use the screwdriver with the right knowledge as to how to use it. So, we have to perform our actions with the right awareness about them. The awareness, the consciousness in that actions is very important. And we get the temptation that, well, if I give up the actions, that will be very good for me. Arjuna is getting that temptation again and again. And this is a dilemma that we all do face in spiritual life about the performance of actions and getting rid of the actions. It is when we face with this, that whatever action we go to do, howsoever I feel I should do it with the spirit of detachment, the mind gets caught in them. Somehow I get attached. It seems that performance of actions with detachment is very difficult. So what should I be doing? It will be better if I just give up actions. So that no actions, so no attachment. Very fine, that idea looks very nice. In Hindi we say that na rahega baas na bajegi basuri, means if there is, they make those nice flutes by the bamboos. If there is no bamboo, there will be no flute either. So like that, one says that if there is no action, then there is no bondage that ensues from the action. And this looks like a shortcut, that instead of practicing detachment in the action, do the action and practice detachment in it. Well, in the first place, if we just do not do action, then there will be no need to do it with detachment. Now so much of work, you know, I have to do work, and then in addition to doing the work, I have to see that I am not getting attached in that. What a difficult job. So if I just get away from all actions, how nice it will be. I have to, for example, teach in the school, and the school administration creates so many problems. Then the kids, I have to, you know, I get attached to them, involved with them in various ways. I feel for them. And then this is the work that I do, but I get attached. How to? So therefore it will be nice if I just stop working. This temptation, friends, is very difficult to avoid, but it is a big trap. Actually, our actions are the tools to inculcate this spirit of detachment. So the Lord has been explaining Arjuna that you are not to give up those actions. You want to really become renouncer, but real renouncer is the one who performs the actions without attachment. Give up attachment. Renounce means to give up. What are you to give up? Not action. It is only the attachment, only the dirty water in the bathtub is to be thrown, not the baby with it. It is the, that is, we feel that, hey, come on, throw everything, the baby is also thrown. So the work is not to be thrown, you see. The work is very important. Only the attachment that has to be given up, and that is what is meant by renunciation. Renunciation, that meaning of this word is made very clear in this last, not last Friday, but the Friday before that, and we were discussing these ideas, that the verse in the 5th chapter, 8th and 9th, that the person of knowledge maintains that, well, I am not doing anything. Whatever actions are being performed, like seeing. Seeing, eye is coming in contact and with the objects of vision. I need not get involved in it. It is, I am not touched by it at all. The eyes, they are receiving the photons or those light waves, whatever you may call it, and then that is creating some electric signals they are carried by those nerves, which are just like wires, you know. And so those wires are taking it to the brain, that is like a CPU of the computer and all that. So it is creating some response there, some images are generated by that. And, well, who am I? I am just watching the whole process. I am not involved in it at all. Where am I involved in this? Is I, this EYE, is it capital I? No, because even if this I is gone, well, you may say the person is blind, but the person is not gone. I am not the I. Just as I am not my hair or my nails, I am not I. I am not my other organs. I am not the nerves either. I am none of these. So when these come in contact with the objects, like our hands do the work, say I am lifting something, I am cooking something, my hands are coming in contact with something. That's all. My hands are coming in contact with that. My brain has a recipe and that is being worked out. It is all robotics, you know. A robot can do it very well. Feed the program and then they can do all those things, not only cooking, making all those very nice machineries like many cars. Many cars used to be advertised. Now even they don't do that advertisement because that is very common. So, whatever features are in all cars, you don't have to specifically advertise them in your car. Our car has four wheels. You don't advertise that, you say. So it is. But when that was a new thing, they used to advertise it. That the car that you get, you are the first, yours will be the first human hand to touch it when you buy it. It is all done by machine. No human hand has touched it till you buy and get into the car. You will be the first to touch it. So, it is really our all these hands, feet, they are just the instruments. And we are really not touching it at all. We can remain just detached, aloof. And that is a matter of practice, friends. It is not just an information to be looked into and passed on. But we have to practice this. This is the practical religion. That will make us, you know, get the spirit of detachment in us. I am writing something. Well, the hand is there, pen is there, the information is there in the mind. It is flowing, it is getting processed and flowing through the hand and is written in the on the paper, like it gets printed on your printer. Similar procedure, you know. Only our hand is much more advanced than a printer is in some respects. So, we use all those things. So similarly, all these actions are to be seen like that I do not perform any of these. The person of knowledge says, well, I am not involved in any of these. Somebody may say that if somebody is doing some cruel actions, some crimes, and would just say, I didn't do it. Well, a person who is detached will not do any crime because all these crimes are performed or are done because of tremendous involvement. Because of the attachment they are done. Otherwise there is no such criminal act that will ensue. It is, this person is detached, doesn't want anything out of this. If I want something, I get attached. If it is done just as a matter of duty, not attached. If you say something is mine, you get bound by it. When you say something as mine, what happens? That becomes your bondage. My house means you are bound by that house. It is not that you are that you possess it. It possesses you. It is, our language is funny. You say, this house belongs to me. Usually the situation is different. That you belong then to the house. House governs you. Even if you are somewhere else, want to do something different, the worries of the house do not leave you. What is happening there? That boiler is functioning properly or not? Many people have in this weather those worries. What will happen if it suddenly stops, and if the pipes burst, then what I will do? All these, the house controls us. So we become imprisoned by whatever we call mine. Just say something as mine, and then that becomes your bondage. So this secret of getting rid of this bondage is, therefore, learn to work without I and mine. As Sri Ramakrishna used to say, that live in this world like a nanny. A nanny taking care of the children says that, well, my little Tom and my little Greg, all that. But she knows that they are not her children at all. She has that, although she says that my so-and-so, she is fully aware that they are not her children. So similarly, in this world, we must be aware that of this, that nothing is mine. And that is truth, friends. That nothing is really ours. It gets taken away from us. So therefore, it is very important to practice this. Whenever we are seeing, let us feel this, that it is the I and the form that is coming in contact with each other, creating this sensation, and I am just the witness. So practice this, and therefore, in the 10th verse, it says,
Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva karutiyah लिप्यते नस्य पापेन पद्मपत्रमिवांभसा. He who performs actions dedicating them to the Lord and giving up attachment is not touched by sin as a lotus leaf by water. That lotus leaf, I don't know if you had a chance of seeing it. It is, you dip it in water, take it out, and you will see no water has stuck to it. The surface is such that it doesn't soak any water in it. So it just, all water drops off it. So similarly, this person does dedicating them to the Lord and giving up attachment, sangam tyaktva karoti yah. That the person who does it like that, then that man or woman, what happens? Does not get caught in it. That is the sin. Sin doesn't mean that somebody is going to commit some robbery. Not necessary. The sin is to say that something is mine when it is not mine. It is actually like a theft, you know. When you call something that is not yours as yours, try to possess it. Is it not theft? Somebody's car, you say it's mine. What is it? You try to take it away, then it is called theft. You are a car thief. So, similarly in this world, And we say, my son, my daughter, my house, my so-and-so. Well, nothing is yours. You become a thief if you say like that. In fact, that is how Srimad Bhagavatam describes it. That if you call somebody as mine, then you are a thief. Because everything belongs really to God. How it belongs to you? Nothing belongs to you. Don't say that something belongs to me. If you say that, if you feel that, then you are committing a crime, a sin, a theft, and you will be therefore put in the prison. A thief, when caught, is put in prison. And this is, you cannot escape God. You know, the other police you may escape. This God you cannot escape. It is sitting and watching right from within. You cannot do anything secretly or privately escaping the sight of God. And God's sight is everywhere, watching us everywhere from right from within. How God watches everything? He uses your eyes. He doesn't need to put some camera or something. Your eyes are the eyes of God. So, God watches everything because your eyes are really used by Him. Your mind is really used by Him. It is not really yours. So, therefore, you get caught and put into this prison. Why we are bound in this world? Because of this. So, if you perform the actions, all these activities as servant of God, that theistically, in the spirit of devotion, one would say, in the spirit of knowledge, one would say that doing it without attachment. The same idea for a devotee would become, well, I will perform this service to Lord in the spirit of dedication. When somebody is, say, working at the bank, doesn't say that all the money in the bank is my money, that would be a terrible thing. It is, you know that you are just working there, you are serving it, and you get your monthly or whatever income from it. You don't say that it is, oh, whole thing is mine. So similarly, you do work here, don't call it mine. Dedicate, everything is dedicated to God, of whom you are the servant. So, then you remain without any sin. Like a lotus leaf immersed in water, and take it out, no water sticks it. So similarly, no sin will stick to you. And he further elaborates this idea in the 11th verse. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalairindriyairapi yogina karma kurvanti sangam tyaktva atma shuddhaye. Men of selfless action, giving up attachment, perform action through the body, mind, intellect, as also the mere senses, for the purification of mind. The yogis, the yogi means the one who is working to experience this truth. That is, that person is called yogi. The one who is intensely working to realize this truth, directs the activities to that. So, such a yogi, how is that yogi's actions? The yogi performs these actions, puts the body, mind, intellect, all the faculties into work. But takes the precaution that only these are involved. I do not get entangled in it. I do not say these are mine. Let all these work and let them get connected with the objects. That will make the work happen. Work will go on. You will not be involved in it. And what will be the result then for you? Your mind will be purified. The truth is there. Why do we not see it? Because our mind is full of impurities. Therefore, we are not able to see it. When through this practice, these impurities are removed, then the truth shines of itself. Truth doesn't require any other light to see it. It shines forth. Why it is not being seen is the impurities. These impurities, when gotten rid of through this practice of karma yoga, performance of actions without attachment. And this is possible, friends. Please remember that this is possible for each one of us, and there is, really speaking, no other way but to practice this. It is, there is no easier way. This is in fact the easiest way to practice this yoga of action, because the means is already there. We have to just learn to use it, that's all. So it is very easy compared to other things where the means is not there. We have to first think of procuring it. Here, the God-given means is with us. We all do work. No problem at all about it. We all do work. So the means is with us. Now only learn to do the work in this fashion. The same work, you don't need to change the work. Same work that we have been doing, whatever it may be, let us continue with that work with different attitude. Like that, I gave that analogy very often, but good to remember that if you want to go to the that place, that destination, and if you realize that you have to take the right path, you miss the road, you are going in the wrong direction, then you don't change the car, you change the direction. You drive in the right direction, that's all. Don't have to go and buy another car for that. Your car is fine. So our work is fine. Whatever work we are doing, excellent, fine. Works are like these cars, you know. They are very good. They all have the capacity to take us to the destination. Only we have to learn to use them, that's all. So, Atma Shuddhaye, for self-purification, for the purification of one's mind, the works are to be done. So, this brings forth another very important issue. How do we do work and how do the yogis do work? How the yogis do work with the purpose of purification of mind. That is a difference that is with ordinary person's work. Other people like us, we work for getting money. Very important motive, power. Then getting power. Power is also for getting power. People can spend money, like for becoming President of United States. See how much money the candidates spend, a huge amount of money. They collect huge money and spend huge money. For what? For getting the title, the power, President of United States. So, it is for that people work. People work for sense enjoyments. In fact, that is why they work for money, because money is the means to buy them. People work for that. people work for so many such reasons. But yogi, how the yogis work? These are all secondary for yogis. Yogis work for the purification of mind. The purpose is just the difference in purpose. In Swami Vivekananda's that book, Karma Yoga, the first chapter has a very beautiful title. And that is what the spirit of this Karma Yoga is. First, that title, do you remember, Vishali, what is the title of the first chapter of Karma Yoga? Go and look at it and read it. Very important. That title is very important. That karma in its effect on character. When I was studying this under a Swami, we were many students there, and he emphasized this point, and it was very touching. That he said, look, normally the title would be Karma and its effect on character. But the title that is given is not Karma and its effect on character, but Karma in its effect on character. What is the special feature there? In Karma Yoga, all other effects of work are not really taken much into consideration. This effect, that is, how the karma, the works, affect your mind state, that is the most important thing. That work is a tool. Like when you are using a screwdriver to, say, put a screw in. What is the intent and what are you looking at? How much the screw is going in? You do not look at the other aspects of it, whether my hand is getting a nice sensation or not and all that. Those things are secondary, you know. You are using the screwdriver to put that screw in. That's all. That is the important effect. So why do we do the work? To bring purification to the mind. That is the purpose with which yogis do the work. So the whole idea of working changes. And thus what will happen? Just look at it, you know, how much when we are working for name, fame, position, money, how much if somebody supersedes me and gets a position, then I feel heartburn. I was more eligible, you know, but that fellow had some links, connections, and they work these days. You keep on, you know, burning inside. Even something that you expected doesn't happen, you keep on cursing yourself that this didn't happen, why should I? So, all expectations, they are directed in a wrong way, which does not benefit you at the end of the day. What is the purpose of the work? Purification of the mind. And that gets achieved by doing whatever work you are doing. It doesn't depend whether you are doing the work of a mailman or whether you are doing the work of the President of the United States. Their works are different. But it is both of them have the same chance of purifying their minds if they do their work with the spirit of detachment. So, work is to be done with this Atma Shuddhaye. That is how the yogis do the work. So, therefore, it doesn't make sense whether people respect me or they don't respect you. It doesn't matter at all. Let them respect me or don't respect me. What does it matter? I am not working for that. I am not working for getting lot of fame. Many people work for that, you know. On the TV I saw one fellow was eating lot of big scary looking worms, you know, to get, so people get fame for because of that, you know, how she can eat like that. So, it is, one lady ate those 52 of those chilies, hottest chilies in the world. In 2 minutes she could eat 52 chilies. Many of us will get just there, even they touch the hands, their hands will start burning. And that lady ate 52 of those hottest chilies in the world in 2 minutes. Lot of fame, you know, the BBC showed their TV and all that. So people work for fame. But yogis, no, these are not the considerations at all. Fame may come, fame may not come. Not that you have to avoid fame. If it comes, let it come. It doesn't matter at all whether it comes, let it come. If it doesn't come, let it not come. That Swami Vivekananda says in that book, Inspired Talks, this is a very often quoted advice given to devotees and monks, that neither seek nor avoid. Neither seek nor avoid all those other things. Attention should be on purification. All works are meant for purifying the mind. The attention should be on that. It is, when it is done with that spirit, then we will be doing work very zealously, very regularly, in a disciplined way, because the attention is, they are the tools for my purification. And as my mind becomes purified, my goal is automatically realized. So the yogis, their focus is on that. The next verse, it may brings this difference clear, the 12th verse. Yukta karma phalam tyaktva shantim apnoti naishthikim ayukta kamakarena phale sakto nibadhyate. The harmonized one, giving up the fruit of action, attains the highest peace. The non-harmonized one, working under the sway of desire, is attached to the fruit and gets bound. So, this is how the difference. When we do work with attachment, like an ordinary person does, looking for these other results, like getting money or getting fame or getting position or getting recognition or whatever such things, then this person gets bound. And the yogi doing the work in the spirit of detachment attains the peace. Highest peace, it is said, shanti mapnoti naishthikim. A beautiful word means the peace that will not go away. And we sometimes feel a sensation of peace, but that quickly goes away. It doesn't last too long. You may feel that, okay, let me go in a forest and it is so peaceful there. Well, in 5 minutes, you will start looking for something else and disturb the mind. Because the disturbance is never created by anything outside. The mind creates lot of disturbance. And therefore, even if you go to forest, you carry the same mind with you, is it not? Like a person was saying that, it is I'm getting this bad smell from somewhere. This room must have something bad smelling. Went to the other room, there was a bad smell. We went to outside somewhere, bad odor. Well, his hands had that odor, you see, so what can be done? He was carrying his hand everywhere, so it was, they tell the story of a man, a funny story. That man was being told by, "Hey, your socks are smelly. Why do you put on those smelly socks? And don't put on those. They stink." Next time he again, that fellow with the other fellow, "Did I not tell you last time? Don't put on those socks." "Yes, I agreed. I have not put them on. They are in my pocket." So, it's like that, it doesn't make a difference at all. So, the same hour, disturbed mind we take even when we go to forest. So, our peace doesn't last. But, this person removes all the impurities of the mind. Then it becomes peaceful. Then whatever may be happening, this person will be in the battlefield and yet at perfect peace. Even in the battlefield, this person will be at perfect peace. And other person, even in the in a lonely, a nice wooded place, will be having a battle raging in his mind. And see, this is the difference. This peace of this person can never go away. It is because it is not dependent on some situation. It is this person's peace is his own by its own nature, and so is always there. Like if you put salt into something, or say sugar into something, that thing becomes sweet. It depends whether you put sugar or not. If you forgot to put sugar in the cake, then the cake won't become sweet. But sugar is always sweet, is it not? You don't have to put something else in sugar to make it sweet. So similarly, this person is always peaceful. Nothing needs to be added to that person. No particular situation is needed to be made. It is whether there is a financial, economic recession or whatever it is, accession, whether there is war or not war, whether there is winter or summer, this person doesn't lose the peace of mind. Always peaceful. It is really love, a great education. I love to watch such people. And there are such people, you know. Not that these such people with knowledge lived only in some past ages. They live. Because of this practice of yoga, people become like this. Always peaceful. Irrespective of what is happening around, the peace of their mind and never wavers. So, one can get to that stage. It is, this is what the efficacy of yoga is. We will continue to study this idea. He will tell in the next verse that this giving up of the action is therefore by mind. Yes, I am not the doer. That attitude is to be cultivated, the externally speaking, all works go on as usual. In fact, they are performed in a much better way. It is a great lesson to learn that many times it is said that then this person, if he doesn't put his attachment or mind in the work will not be performed well. You have to put your that mind into that, and then only the work gets done well. I too had that idea. But when you see people doing work, much more work and much more efficiently, without any attachment, then you know that your attachment really is not an element in doing the work well. It is only, in fact, it was creating more disturbance. The person who is calm is more efficient. The more energy is available for work. Otherwise, it is all lot of disturbance, noise, too much of noise, very little work. So it is, more disturbance doesn't mean more work. The mind person cannot even sit still for 5 minutes and thinks that, well, that disturbance is making me work more. It is all waste of energy. So, in the next few verses, that idea will be further elaborated. We shall try to see them as next Friday. Any questions? Yes, Charles?
It seems that corruption is due to attachment, like Duryodhana was corrupt because he was attached to sensual pleasures. And people who fight corruption, today at least, usually have an ideal of changing society. And people who don't have such an ideal usually just work for themselves and their families. Because if you have an ideal of changing society, then you have the hope that your work is going to mean something and be successful. But if you don't have that ideal, if you just see the world as a gymnasium, then where is the hope that the work is going to be successful?
It's a very good question, and people often ask this question. It is if you are just working with detachment, without caring for result, taking the world as gymnasium, then how this person will be able to change the world or change the situation, and what is the motive power for this person? Like corruption is there. Somebody has to come out and fight this corruption. The question is here, the one who wants to fight the corruption, a good idea. Has this person cleansed himself? Is there no corruption in that person? Otherwise, not your corruption, but my corruption. It is like our party politics. That party people, they very corrupt. Let us come to power. Then our lobbyist will get money, that's all. You know, earlier their lobbyists were getting, and now our lobbyist will get money, our party people will get money. That is, instead of your corruption gets replaced then by my corruption. So to the extent that we purify ourselves, we will be able to really bring peace and this purity to the public life also. Who really bring purity to public life? People who have purified themselves, like say Mahatma Gandhi. What is the secret there? Because the person has worked hard to internally purify oneself. I don't want anything. And then you can, fight corruption. So that this is for that, then you will be able to really fight corruption. Otherwise, it is only a struggle between your corruption and my corruption. Yes, John?
I can remember a lecture by a Catholic priest, and he talked about two types of angers. And one is a self-centered anger. Sometimes I'll go feed a billy goat, and a couple of pigs. And if I give the pigs a granola bar, this billy goat will go into a rage and actually headbutt the pigs, you know. That's the example of the self-centered anger. An example of anger due to an like an injustice would be like Jesus chasing the money changers. So my question is, would that be like an example of, could that be an example of an impurity?
Oh, well, see, when that example of Jesus chasing the money changers is given, Jesus is not doing it out of anger. There is no anger there. Jesus has his mind poised. Out of the poise and peace, that person is doing it. If you are doing it out of anger, then it is a different result. I don't say that there are, if you want to call it anger, then it is of a very different category. It is not anger, really speaking. It is this idea that this place shouldn't have this money changing. And so he chased them out of it. That was beneficial for money changers as to them also. He did everything out of love, not out of anger. When our mind becomes angry, what happens is our rational faculty is the first casualty. We cannot think properly. See, when one becomes angry, the good things are not seen in the person against whom you become angry. It is all the bad things only come forth, you know. It is but when you are not angry, then you see something that is not right. Then, without anger, out of love, it is done then. It is, you can give the example like the surgeon's knife and a murderer's knife. You know, they may be using similar thing. A surgeon's knife can also be used to commit murder, but if it falls in the hands of that person, a thief or a murderer. Now, the surgeon is using the knife not out of anger, not out of some selfish motive. This person is using the knife out of anger or out of some, as you said, self-centered motive. So this is a radical difference between them. It is, there is these people have abolished all anger. And Jesus had no anger. It is the all-pervading love. That is the difference there. Otherwise, we have love for I and mine, for my people, for my ideas, for my those things. And then others, about others, my love becomes less and less. So, it's like that. Even for, because I stay here, the New England Patriots become my favorite. I love them. It is the other people say, don't talk about them. A Patriot fan may, in rage, shoot the fan of the other team who is playing against them. So it's like that. This mind, when it comes into play, the mind becomes all ruffled. All the reason is lost. And therefore, anger has to be abandoned. The anger is great enemy. And we have seen that earlier. Anger is really another side of desire. The obverse and reverse sides. Desire and anger. So, it is... there are, if you want to call it a righteous anger, it is a different thing, but it is really not an anger at all. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Just a reminder, on coming Sunday, that is day after tomorrow, we have a day-long celebration of the birth anniversary of Swami Vivekananda. Celebration will be from 11 to 7 in the evening, 11 in the morning to 7 in the evening. So you are like welcome to join whatever part of it you can.